God, the example that you set to our families and to our kids, and kids, if you didn't see the sign, you are dismissed. So today is a good day, and I want to ask if you would pray with me. Let's pray together before we spend a little bit of time together in the Word of God. Let's pray. God, we just want to give you the glory today for what you have done. We stand amazed, and we stand in awe that you are a God who was willing to humble yourself, become a man, and walk this earth, and live the perfect life of righteousness for us that we could not live, and that you died, you paid the price, the penalty for our sins, you rose again because you're God. You cannot keep God in the grave, and you defeated death, and you defeated sin. And the Bible simply says that all who will confess Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior will be saved. If we put our faith in you and trust in you alone to forgive us, you will. And you give us new life. You give us life through the power, through regeneration, through the Holy Spirit coming inside of us and making us new. God, you give us a new heart. And Lord, you give us the gift of eternal life to know that we are forgiven and we will be with you forever. God, this morning, we just simply pray that you would speak to us. We know that you're here. We know that you have a message for each one of us today through your word. Your word is alive. It is powerful. It speaks to the thoughts and to the intentions of our heart. Lord, the things that we need to hear, sometimes even when we don't realize that we need to hear them, God, you speak to us and you encourage us and you gently lead us. You are the good shepherd. And so we thank you that you are a God who leads us to gentle to still waters and to green pastures. God, thank you. Lord, thank you for the celebration today of those who were baptized. God, we thank you for their testimony. We thank you that they can just give praise of the way that you have worked in their lives and that you have drawn them to salvation, and that they stand today before everybody in this building and to proclaim to the world that Jesus saves. So thank you. You're a good God. You're a good Father. Be with us now during this time in the Word. We pray these things in Christ's name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. All right, well, if you have your Bible, I want to encourage you to open to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We're going to be there in just a little bit, but today is a special day for us as a church family, as we said, because we are, a little bit later, towards the end of the service, we're going to welcome a number of people into our church family and into our church membership officially, as you might say. And so this is something to really celebrate, because it means that God is alive, and Jesus is doing things, and he's changing hearts, and he's giving new life, and he's working in people's hearts. And so this morning, as we have some time together, I just want to take a little bit of time this morning for us to talk about this concept, the idea of church membership. A lot of times we don't really necessarily take time to speak on this or talk about this, but we want to talk about why church membership. You know, if we're going to have some people stand up here this morning and if they're going to officially join the church, well, it's a good reason to stop and kind of pause and go, well why do we do that? What does that mean? What's the significance of that? Why is that important? And so we just want to spend some time this morning talking about that. Why do we do church membership? I mean, we could ask the question, is it really important anymore? Does it matter? Is it just a dated concept that doesn't really mean a whole lot today? I was thinking, you know, when we hear this word membership, it's easy for us to interpret it in light of, you know, the day and the times that we live in. We often interpret it in a certain way. I was thinking, over the last number of years, our family, not now, but about 3 years, for the past 3 years, we've had a YMCA membership. You know, we had that. I have had a Costco membership. I currently have a Sam's Club membership. You know, some of you do too. And, you know, when we think about this idea today in our culture of becoming a member of something, oftentimes it means that we're paying, you know, some funds or investing up front so that we can get a lot of benefits in return. And it's very consumeristic in nature. You know, I'm putting something up front so I can get something in return. If I go to Sam's Club, I can save 15 cents. Pete's over here shaking his head because he works at Sam's Club. He's like, yeah, Sam's Club, yeah. That's right. Yeah. Woo, Sam's Club. If I go to Sam's Club, I can save about 15 cents, you know, a gallon on gas. And so that's a perk. When we used to belong to the YMCA, it had a huge weight room, a track, three gyms, a pool, you know, inside and outside, all these benefits that we would get. So we put up this one-time financial commitment, and there's all these benefits to me. Well, church membership is different. It is. It's all together different, but it's very important. And so I just want to spend a little bit of time with us today looking in the scriptures about this. Because church membership, it's not about what I get. It's about what I give. And so where do we start? And a good question is, where do we start? First of all, it's really important that we recognize that in the Bible, you could read it from cover to cover, and you're not going to find a chapter or a verse that says you need to be a member of a church. You're not going to find a command that God says that, you know, a specific verse that says, thou shalt become a member of a local church, okay? It's not there. But I do want to make the case before you that it is biblically implied. That it is biblically implied, even though the scriptures don't come out and say it clearly, but it is biblically implied that God looks at us as believers, that we will be invested and committed and devoted as members of the local church. And we want to talk about why the scriptures imply that for us. So I wanted to start with this question. Well, when we use the word membership, what does it mean? All right? Because I don't have my wallet on me. I can't pull out my Sam's card. But when we talk about membership in the church, I put a little definition up here for us to try and define it. What do we mean by the expression of church membership? Well, a clear, identifiable body of people. And that's a very important part of the definition. A clear, identifiable body, all right, if you want to underline that or highlight that in your notes, of people who have committed themselves to a local gathering of believers that functions as a church as defined in the scriptures. So first of all, then what is a church? Well, if you look at the Bible, right, the church is not a building. The church is people. It's God's people. And the church is made up of its members. People who are placing their faith in Christ alone for salvation from sins, and people who have been born again by God. That's who the church is. Now, we can define this a little bit further, and we define it in two ways. We define it in two aspects of the church, what we call the universal church and what we call the local church. And so two quick definitions of this. The universal church is the reality that the church is made up of people from differing times, cultures, races and backgrounds globally. It's the body of Christ, of all those who have been baptized by the Spirit into his body. And then we have the local church. The local church is a local gathering, of believers who confess Christ and meet for the purpose of worship and bringing glory to God, equipping believers for ministry, nurturing believers, makes disciples through evangelism, and is led by a leadership of elders and pastors, etc. So we take a moment to just sort of define what the church is. It's God's people, right? Two different expressions of the church. But now we can ask the question, well, where do we get this idea that church membership is biblically implied in the scriptures? Well, I just want to share with you four things this morning. The first is in the metaphor of the body. We can open the Bible and we can see that the Bible uses this metaphor of the body. And it comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, chapter 12 through chapter 14. The metaphor of the body has an expression both in the universal church as well as the local church. Let me read for you 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 through 14, if you have your Bibles in front of you. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, starting in verse 12. Paul writes to the church of Corinth, he says this. He says, the body is a unit. Now he's talking about our physical bodies. The body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts. And though all of its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free. We were all given the one Spirit to drink. Now the body is not made up of one part, but of many. So when we read this, we start by seeing that Paul is teaching the Corinthian church that everybody who is in the church has a specific role to play. And he's going to develop this in the rest of the chapter, and that they're needed. And he is using our physical bodies and the various members of our bodies, right, my arms, my legs, and so forth, to illustrate the point. And so here in verse 13, we see that all Christians, Scripture says, are united by one Spirit, right, one body. It doesn't matter what your nationality is, doesn't matter whether you're a slave or you were a free man. All true born-again believers are given the Holy Spirit of God. And that's what unites us. That's the essence of the universal church. But remember that this letter was written to a specific church. It was written to a local gathering of people. It was written to the church of Corinth. And when this letter was read to them, they would have understood that what Paul was saying directly applies to them and how they are to function as individual members of a church. So let's look at verses 14 through 20. We continue on. Paul writes, he says, "Now the body is not made up of one part, but of many. If the foot should say, 'Because I'm not a hand, I don't belong to the body,' it would not for that reason cease to be a part of the body. And if the ear should say, 'Because I'm not an eye, I don't belong to the body,' it would not for that reason cease to be a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has arranged the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body." So here again, we see Paul, he's talking about the individual members of our body, right? My foot, you have a foot, you have a hand, you have an ear, you have an eye. And as it says, God has arranged them right where he wants them to be, right? Unless you have one of those, help me out. Yes, potato head. Then you can take all the parts and rearrange them, okay? And then you get to play, you know, God. But God has all of your parts right where they're supposed to be, all right? If every part were the same, you wouldn't have a body, right? Ontologically speaking, you wouldn't have a body. Now, Paul says in verse 12, he says, "So it is with Christ," okay? Don't miss that. So it is with Christ. We are the body of Christ, and each one of us are various parts of the body. So the question is it's great when a preacher can't read his own handwriting, right? He writes it down there. Okay, so the question is, which means that someone is a hand or a foot or an eye or an ear, right? How does that practically play itself out? Well, the implication is that happens within the local church. It happens within its membership. And so if we talk about this, if you imagine this, if you pick this up and you're reading this passage and you're studying this in your devotions, you're naturally going to be thinking about this in part in the context of our local church. You're going to be thinking about, okay, well, I might be an eye, or I might be a hand, or I might be an ear, right? And a verse like, look at verse 21. A verse like verse 21 makes no real sense, really, if you read it only in the context of the universal church. Verse 21 says, "The eye cannot say to the hand, 'I don't need you.' And the head cannot say to the feet, 'I don't need you,'" right? I'm not sure how you would say that to someone who has, if you're only thinking about it within the context of the universal church. It's meant to be implied specifically within the members of the church. And it's the same with verse 27 to 31. Look at this. Look at with me in verse 27. Paul goes on to say, "Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. And in the church, God has appointed first of all the apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then workers of miracles, also those having gifts of healing, those able to help others, those with gifts of administration, and those speaking in different kinds of tongues, are all apostles, are all the prophets," he goes on and so forth. And so as Paul's talking about all the different ministry gifts within the church and those who have them, all of this would have been understood within the context of the local church. This was written by Paul to their church. It was written to their members. And so we could ask the question, how is it that we could be obedient to the commands of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, as well as Romans chapter 12, which is another passage in the Bible that talks about the gifts? How could we be obedient to those commands if we aren't connected to a local covenant community of faith? Number two, we see it in church leadership. This is really important. Church membership is implied in the biblical requirement for Christians to be submitted to a group of church leaders. Look with me at Hebrews chapter 13. Let me read it for you. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17 says this. The Bible says, "Obey your leaders and submit to their authority. They keep watch over you as men who must give an account. Obey them so that their work will be a joy, not a burden, for that would be of no advantage to you." So there are a few questions that come up here with this verse, as well as some others that we want to look at. The first question is who are the leaders going to have to give an account for? Who are the leaders going to have to give an account for? That's the first question. I mean, as a pastor, do I have to give an account for every Christian in State College? Every Christian in Pennsylvania? Every Christian that I might happen to meet at a graduation party over the month of June, is the Bible talking about that? Is the Bible talking about the universal church here? Will I have to give an account for them? Or will I and the elders of this church have to give an account for this flock right here? 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 2 and 3 says this, "Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, serving as overseers." So, I mean, certainly pastors and elders and leaders in churches, we can demonstrate love for all people, care for all people. But it's clear from Scripture that we have a responsibility to care for our own flock. Now, how do they know who their own flock is? I mean, whom will they give an account for? So without the implication of an identifiable group of members, then how are the elders and the pastors to obey this command? Now, it's interesting, the second aspect of this verse in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17, is that Christians are supposed to submit to their leaders. That's what God's word says. It says that we are supposed to submit to those whom God has put in spiritual authority over us. So the question is, who are you supposed to submit to? Right? I mean, are you supposed to submit to every teacher, every pastor, every radio, every TV preacher that you watch? Are you supposed to submit to the leadership of, for example, we could pick Westboro Baptist Church and the crazy things that they do? Are you supposed to submit and go out and picket funerals and things like that? The Bible implies that we're going to be committed to the local congregation, and that you are responsible to obey, as it says, your leaders to whom God has put to guide you. As imperfect as we are, they are, right? They are there to keep, the Bible says, to keep watch over you. So this idea that's implied is it's a committed, identifiable group of members is implied if leadership is supposed to give an account and if people are supposed to submit to their leaders. Thirdly, we see this in Scripture, church discipline. All right, this is very convincing as well. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 1 through 13, we see that there is this issue in the church of an unrepentant believer who is living in sin. Let me turn there, just 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 1 through 2. I'm just going to read that portion. Paul's writing again to the church at Corinth, and he says, "It is actually reported that there is sexual immorality among you, a kind that doesn't even occur among the pagans. A man has his father's wife, and you are proud. Shouldn't you rather have been filled with grief and have put out of your fellowship the man who did this?" So here in this letter, we look at this and we see, well, what's Paul doing? Well, this passage was addressing a real life issue, and Paul's giving instructions to the church on how to handle when there is one among us who is just living in blatant, unwilling to repent and unwilling to turn from their sin. How does the church handle that? And if you look at the verbiage here, God says here that they were to put this person out of their fellowship. Well, in order for there to be an out, there has to be an in. And then the question is, well, how do we know who's inside and who's outside the church without some kind of a official membership role? It's implied then that this man, that he was one of the members of the church of Corinth. Now, if you think about this, we also see in Matthew chapter 18, verses 15 through 17, the same principle as Jesus taught. We see that the church is an identifiable body of members because the church has been given the final authority in that passage in Matthew chapter 18, verses 15 through 17. It's been given the final authority as it relates to membership in the area of disciplining a person who is living in unrepentant sin. Let me read this to you in Matthew 18. "If your brother sins against you, go and show him his fault, just between the two of you. If he listens to you, you've won your brother over. But if he will not listen to you, take one or two others along so that every matter may be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. If he refuses to listen to them," the Bible says, "tell it to the church. Treat him as you would a pagan or a tax collector." And so what has God done there? God has entrusted the final judgment of the unrepentant church member into the hands of the people of the church. We ask the question, well then, could anyone just show up and be a part of that gathering and be a part of such an important decision? It's implied that the church is a definable group of people who handle such a significant matter. And so church membership is implied here in that passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 5 because you have the possibility of removing someone from the church. So therefore, the church must know, they must have a knowledge of who is in and who is out. Removal would not be possible if there were no clear membership. You have to know who's in the body and you have to know who's not. Lastly, just church accountability. Church accountability. God has made the church accountable. He's made us accountable to do certain things. In Acts chapter 6, we see that the church is accountable for choosing its leaders. The church is accountable for choosing its leaders. In Galatians chapter 1, the church is responsible to preach and protect the gospel. And if someone in the church is not preaching the correct gospel, then the church is accountable for shutting them up. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, the church is responsible for its members and identifying them. The church is the one who identifies the member, not the individual. And in Acts chapter 13, the church is responsible for sending out missionaries. If you take all of these passages that we've talked about this morning and you put them together, we see that God's design is for each believer to be a committed person into the local church. It's very hard. It would be very hard for the church to do what God has called the church to do unless you have identifiable members. And it's interesting, when you look in the Bible, we just don't really get this sense. It's not really there that of a believer who's not directly connected to a local church. And sort of kind of what we have today, it's very common, sort of a floating Christian universal bouncing from church to church over year to year. It sounds nice, you know, especially in our culture, because we don't like to be tied down. We want a little bit of elbow room, you know, don't tie me down. And we're very high commitment, I think, at a lot of things. We're high commitment at our jobs. We're high commitment at our kids' sporting events. Some of us are very high commitment at our hobbies, and people are high commitment at a lot of things. But high commitment to the church today, in a sense, has lost its luster in a lot of ways, and we've forgotten its value. So let's talk for a little bit about why church membership matters. The Bible implies that it's something that we ought to consider to be devoted to the church. Why does it matter? Well, three things, simply. One, in joining a church, you make your visible commitment to Christ and to his people. You make your commitment to Christ and to his people, you make it visible when you become a member of a local church. Membership is one way, as Pastor Kevin DeYoung stated. He said, it's one way that you raise the flag of faith. You make a statement before God and others that you are a part of this congregation. It's easy to be a Christian in the universal church of God, but the visible church is where God expects you to live out your faith. In membership, this is how you live out. It's how we live out. It's how we experience all of the biblical metaphors that God has put there for us to be the body of Christ, to be the family of God. All the biblical metaphors that we just looked at in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And when you look at the writings of the Apostle Paul in the New Testament, most of them were written to individual churches. Only a very few were written to individuals. Most of them were leadership and pastors. You pick up the book of Revelation and you read it and you see that Jesus spoke to individual congregations. He spoke to congregations like Smyrna and Sardis and Laodicea. So in the church, when you become a member, you are making visible your commitment to fulfilling your specific role in the body of Christ, like we looked at in 1 Corinthians 12. It's very easy for us to be uncommitted today. Sometimes, I was thinking about this week, sometimes there's more commitment asked of us to run the concession stand at our kids', sports leagues than oftentimes we give to the local church or commit to the local church. And the church is God's special institution. It is his program. It's designed to help you grow spiritually and for us to reach the world with the gospel. And in our culture today, it's very simple, very easy to have very low commitment to it. Being a member of a church is how you know which Christians on planet Earth you're specifically called to love and to serve and to warn and encourage. If you look at Ephesians chapter 4, it's what enables you to fill your biblical responsibilities to Christ's body as described in, we said in Ephesians 4. If you look at verse 16, I'm not sure if I didn't put it up here, but let me read it to you. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 16 says, from him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Well, secondly, here's another reason why church membership matters. Church membership keeps us accountable to grow. It keeps you accountable so that you will grow. When we join a church, we are offering ourselves to each other to be encouraged, to be rebuked, corrected, to serve. And we're placing ourselves under God's leaders and submitting to their authority because we take our faith and our discipleship seriously. Mark Dever, Pastor Mark Dever in the Washington, D.C. area, he wrote a book called 9 Marks of a Healthy Church. And about church membership, he said this, I think he's right. He said, church membership is our opportunity to grasp hold of each other in responsibility and in love. By identifying ourselves with a particular church, we let the pastors and the other members of that local church know that we intend to be committed in attendance, in giving, in prayer, and in serving. And we allow fellow believers to have great expectation of us in these areas, and we make it known that we are the responsibility of this local church. We assure the church of our commitment to Christ and serving with them, and we call for their commitment to serve and encourage as well. So, when you join a church, it's a statement that you are all in spiritually. You're saying, I'm going to attend regularly because I know that if I don't, I can't be edified and I can't pour into the lives of others and the shepherds of this local church can't shepherd me. It's a statement that says, I'm going to give regularly. I'm going to give regularly to the ministry of the church because if I don't, the ministry will slow down and it might come to a stop. Things happen like, you know, funds to missionaries slows down. Missionaries might have to come home. The impact is lost for the gospel. You know, the electric bill needs to be paid. At the end of the day, people's lives, God is changing people's lives. And so giving and supporting God's work is important. Thirdly, as we said, giving, it's a commitment that you're going to pray regularly, saying, I'm going to pray regularly. I'm going to pray for my pastor. I'm going to pray for my elders and our church leadership. I'm going to pray for other people in our church. I'm going to pray for God to use me in this church and in my neighborhood and at my job. I'm going to find a place to serve. God has given every believer spiritual gifts that he wants them to use and to not waste. And number three, why church membership matters? Because it builds a witness and invites the nations. It builds a witness and it invites the nations. I think Pastor Matt Chandler said it best, and I want to quote him here. He said, membership puts the alternative rule of Christ on display for the watching universe. The very boundaries which are drawn around membership of a church yields a society of people which invites the nations to something greater. I think this is so true. Our life as a church is a testimony to the world of the love of Christ, that they would desire what they do not have. And God is calling each of us, I believe, to significant church membership. God defines it for our good, and I believe it's for his glory. And so as we wrap up this morning, the question is then what should we do? What should we do if God has implied these things to us in his word? Well, for starters, we could just pause and we could ask ourselves today, God would want each of us to ask ourselves, how invested am I in my local church? How invested am I in my local church? Am I all in with God's program for me? Am I committing myself to godly leadership for my spiritual growth? If you look at those four areas that we talked about this morning, we see it's really important. Am I involved in biblical community to help me to grow? Am I using my spiritual gifts and serving others the way God wants me to? Am I committed in praying for my church? Am I supporting it financially, God's kingdom work financially? Am I here regularly? Things like that. If I'm not, we look at any of those, we say, if I'm not, then we can ask the question, well, what is it that's holding me back? What is it that's holding me back? The way I commit myself to being accountable to God's program for me is to be by committing myself to the local church. And there's strong, not as direct command, but there is strong biblical implication that God wants us to be deeply, deeply devoted to the local church through membership. And God has, let me say this. Without it, we would be nothing more than a nonprofit religious organization with a vision statement and objectives. But God has much more for us than that. He has much more for us than that. We are the body of Christ. We are here to glorify God and to take God's love to the world. That is us. So we ought to desire that. We ought to desire that in our hearts. Would you pray with me? Father, thank you for your word. It is precious to us. And God, we confess that oftentimes we read your word and maybe we don't spend enough time in it to see the things that you would really want us to see. And so God, thank you that your word is deep and it is rich. And it is your very words, Lord, to us. It is your love letter to us there to teach us, to instruct us about the Christian life, and to know who you are and who we are and how you would want us to live as those you have saved and those you have called. And so God, today would you take these things from your word and do your work in our hearts that you want to do in us. Lord, you have the freedom to convict and to prod and to move things around inside of our hearts so that all of our love and all of our devotion is directed at you. Lord, don't allow us to fall in love with the things of the world because they're simply temporary. But God, you've called us out of the world to go back into the world so that we can take Christ to the world. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. As I said, we are going to take some time to welcome our new members, so we're excited about this. I'm going to ask them if they would, I know they're kind of scattered throughout the church, but if you wouldn't mind coming up this morning and come up here and stand with me. We're welcoming, I believe it's 10 people into a membership this morning. And so I'll ask our elders, too, if they're available, if you want to come up here and stand with me as well. Phil is tied back at the soundboard, and that's okay. Just want to say a couple of things here this morning to you guys. We're excited, and we celebrate God's work in your life. And I just want to share a few thoughts with you this morning. When you put your faith in Jesus for salvation, the Bible tells us that you were brought into God's church. And today, it's our joy to welcome you as members of this congregation. We believe that the Holy Spirit has led you here to this congregation at this time for your own good, as well as for the glory of God and for the good of this congregation and for our region. And so today, we celebrate that. And I just simply have a couple of vows this morning that we just want to go through. Two of them are for all of you this morning. And then one of them, the other one is for us as a congregation. And so I just want to read the vow. And if your spirit and your heart is to agree with that, just say, we do. First of all, do you affirm once again that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, that the Bible is God's word, revealing Christ and God's plan for salvation, and that the teachings of this church reflect that revelation? If so, say, we do.
We do.
Do you intend do you fully intend to join with us, sharing your gifts in our worship and fellowship and in the mission God has given us in the world? And then for us, congregation, I just have this simple question for us. Will you, with good heart, receive these individuals in love as your brothers and sisters in Christ, support them with your fellowship and prayers, and recognizing their gifts, invite them into the life and the mission of our congregation? If so, say, we do.
We do.
We do. Amen. Well, let me. I'm just gonna go through here. We have in these wonderful envelopes. I feel like I'm on a game show. Like I should open it up and see what's inside. I'm gonna read the names here, and they're in no particular order. But if I read your name, if you just want to wave and let everybody know who you are. So Lauren Bailey is joining us into church membership, and Bethany Bernardo. I remember her from this morning. Her mom, Valerie Bernardo. Jay Bernardo, right? Flora Gomaro, her husband Kajovi Gomaro. Could not be with us here this morning because not feeling well this weekend, but Jim Moon is joining us in our fellowship. Christine Rice, husband Bob Rice. And last but not least, Dave Ray. So let's celebrate together what God's doing. Amen. Oh, you got it? Okay. All right. One or both of our elders are going to pray this morning, so thank God for what God's doing. Let's pray together.
Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for this opportunity we have to be here this morning and to enjoy being a part of your church. We love you. Thank you so much for establishing the church to work in the world today. Lord, I thank you for each one of these that have come forward that have shown a willingness to become a part of what you're doing here. Lord, we all have a part. Lord, I just pray that we would all be challenged to do the work that you have called us to do. So, Lord, I pray as they become official members of our church today that, one, we would welcome them, enjoy getting to know them even more, and that, two, they would find their place here to serve, to use the spiritual gifts that you've given to them, and may we all just understand that responsibility that we have. Lord, help us to be givers back as we give back to you. As we give to each other, help us to love each other the way you've called us to, because that is what will show the world who you are and whose we are. Thank you for calling each one of us to be a part of what you're doing in this world through this church and through this community. We love you and thank you so much for just the opportunity we have to serve and to worship you each and every day. It's not about just coming in here on Sunday morning, but understanding that we worship you each and every day in everything that we do. We love you. Thank you so much for your love. Thank you for your children and for the opportunity we have just to serve together. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. If you guys wouldn't mind, I'm going to ask you to maybe make your way towards the back of the auditorium, and then when the worship service is over, if you want to maybe hang out in the lobby a little bit. And as you guys are leaving today, if you could just pretend that there's no doors on the side of the church and just go out that way and just shake a hand and just say, hey, God, praise God. Nice to meet you. Introduce yourself if there's a beautiful face up here that you don't know, okay? So if you guys want to make your way to the back, and you can worship with us, but then make your way to the lobby. Thanks.